Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. Have you heard of COPD? Do you know actually what it is and how it affects people? Amongst others, it's people with this condition that were considered vulnerable during the pandemic, along with people with other conditions as well. Joining me in the studio tonight are Angela Ray and Joy Harper, who both have COPD, and they're going to tell us more. Good evening, both.
Good evening, Clive.
Thank you ever so much for coming in. Now, for anybody that hasn't heard of COPD, what does it stand for and what does it actually... What is it exactly?
It's a lung disease.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a chronic illness that affects the airways. So it's chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. There's no cure. So it's a case of finding the right treatment.
Yes.
That will suit you, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But so what does it do to your lungs? Does it narrow the airways?
Yes.
So that it makes it more difficult to breathe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Do you want to say a bit?
Like when, with the COPD, when it's in, like you've got it, you find it hard to breathe and things are harder to do because you can't breathe so good. And it takes more out of you to get the things done. It does take longer, but when you're done, you're done.
Now, there are four stages of COPD. Who can tell me about that?
We both can,
go
actually.
On, feel
go
free.
On,
the
then.
Floor is yours.
Go on, then. You can have a mild version,
mm-hmm.
which is very, very mild.
A moderate version, which is moderate.
which is this one you say she's moderate?
Right.
Then there's severe,
uh-huh.
and then there's very severe.
Right.
That's the stage you go like.
Right. So do we all start off mild and then become moderate, or does it just happen?
No, it happens.
At
it can happen over years, and you don't know you've got it.
Right.
It's just what progress is, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So what are your symptoms then?
Symptoms, right. You can't walk and talk at the same time, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You can't eat and talk. You struggle with your eating because you're trying to breathe as well. If you imagine you're breathing, but we have to breathe 10 times more than what you do because we can't take so much air in, so therefore we're starving our blood of oxygen. So it affects your walking, so that's your mobility. You tend to go light-headed. You feel as if you've done a marathon and you've only walked about 20 steps. It takes you three times as long to do anything as opposed to a normal person. So it affects everything. But I think the worst part, and we both feel it, is our voices.
Yes.
Yeah.
In what way?
You tend to come over as if you're raspy and I don't know.
I always think... Sorry.
That's all right.
If anybody, like, with your breathing, some people, if they've stood by you and they look, because you're breathing heavier.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And so you have coughing fits.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't help.
No. I mean, have you been affected by COVID, either of you, or what precautions?
I had it. Yeah. I've had a bad cough, and that's still, I can't get it to go.
No.
But it's left me, like, tired in this cough.
Mm.
Which it gets on your nerves.
So it's probably a touch of long COVID as well.
Yes,
I would suggest possibly, although obviously not a medical person.
I mean,
person.
Like, I was, it made me feel weak as well, but not so bad.
Because
it was the third one, Omicron.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
So, I mean, let's go right back to the very beginning. I'll start with you, Joy. When did you first realise that something wasn't quite right and you went to speak to your doctor?
When I used to work, I lost such a lot of weight. And I went to my doctor, and of course, I was sent for tests at the hospitals. And I think I had to go to Corbett's, and the lady there, what is it they call them? Me.
Consultant.
Consultant, sorry. she told me, I says, it's COPD you've got.
So they did chest x-rays
yes,
and such like
yes,
that?
Yes, they do. And the spirometer meter.
Yes,
doing that as well to see, because I can tell how far you are by blowing into that.
But they don't always tell everybody what type of COPD they've got or at what level they are. You need to ask.
So I don't know. Mine, I didn't know. Didn't realise that till we was talking.
Right. I wonder why they don't tell you.
Don't know.
So what did you think then, Joy? When you were told that, what was the first thing that went through your mind?
Panic.
Yes, panic. Worry, like, what's going to happen? How am I going to be? You know, like, what can I do?
What about the family?
That's it, yes.
Now, Angela, how did you receive your diagnosis? What happened with you?
I had a fall, believe it or not. And I was quite ill with that, and that was when, it was just before the fall, wasn't it, that I realised I'd got it. But I've got emphysema. I'm stage 3. But I've learned how to deal with it and how to try and move forward, because I was actually worse when I was diagnosed than I am now. It won't go away.
No.
It will get worse. I was stage 2, I think, when I was diagnosed. But I asked, and I said, look, it's something that's got to be dealt with. I need to know what I'm dealing with. You know, it's no good saying, oh, you've just got COPD. What is COPD? What have I got? And they told me, went on the spirometer, and my one doctor, the first one, just threw it across the room. He said, that was a waste of time. He said, I don't know why I give it you.
Right.
And I went, why?
Why?
He says, there's nothing, you haven't moved it. So right, okay. I'd got nothing coming out of my lungs at all.
Sure.
But they introduced us to the nurses. And it's thanks to them and their classes that we're here today. They do a rehab group and they teach you how to breathe again.
Yeah.
Literally, whereas everybody else breathes from... We breathe from the chest, if you like. We have to learn how to breathe back from the diaphragm. And we have to learn to breathe much deeper.
Yeah.
And it's difficult because we can get the breath in, but we can't get it out.
You've just got to blow, like purse slips.
Yes.
Can you imagine going underwater?
Yeah.
And the water sinking over and you can't get your breath. That's just how we feel.
Yeah, you're like fighting.
And you're frightened to go out in case you collapse or you can't get your breath when you're out because the wheezing and the coughing is terrible and you get people coming round and that's the last thing you actually need. So you learn to... You have to learn to do everything again.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's education more than anything.
How do you manage things on a day-to-day basis then, Angela?
Difficult. If it weren't for my husband, who's my carer, I'd struggle with a lot more than what I do. Can't put a pair of socks on without struggling. And that sounds silly, but you can't. Even that, the bending. And sometimes what they don't tell you, when you can't get your breath, lean forward. Because it actually helps.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They don't tell you this. We have to learn all this. Yeah. And it does help.
Right.
I can't stand for long.
No.
You find we've got other underlying illnesses as well as a COPD. Yeah. I said Joyce's was mild.
Moderate.
Moderate, but it isn't. I mean, it's bad. I was just playing around.
It's always the same.
So, I mean, Joy, how do you manage day-to-day basis? And how do you manage things?
With my husband works, but he also does a lot at home for me to save me having to do it. Because I haven't got the energy.
No.
A lot of things, I just haven't got the energy to do.
We have to sit.
Yes. and try and do a bit of what we can, when we can.
Now, you say that there isn't a cure for it and there aren't any treatments as such, but obviously you have, you know, you have the time with the nurses and you sort of breathing classes and things. What other things can you do to manage it and to try and suppress it a little bit?
You've got your inhalers, you've got your nebuliser, which you're supposed to go on. I was supposed to go on a nebuliser 4 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
But I found when I started using that, I was becoming to rely on it more and more and more. So I weaned myself off and only go on now in an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
But the nurses taught us exercises we can actually do sitting down, or they're not too energetic, but it helps with the breathing. Because we can't get that much energy, you tend to lose muscle mass as well.
Mm. Yeah.
And your muscles become weak, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we found with the group, you can talk to each other. And it's surprising, one knows something that another one doesn't. And you help each other.
Mm.
But it also affects your mental health as well, because you feel isolated.
Mm.
And especially if there's nobody else that you know that's got it, you start thinking you're the only one with it and nobody knows what you're going through.
Mm.
It's a bit lonely, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you do, Joy, to manage it and you know, with everything else going on in life?
Well, I practice my exercising, what the nurses have taught me, pulmonary rehab. I do those and, like, as Angela says, sit forward and do it. And then I might try and do a bit of exercise, what the nurses have learned me to do, to help.
Mm.
We also volunteer as well, I do, and that helps, because you've with Dudley Health Watch.
Right. Tell me about that.
Right, Dudley Health Watch is a group, and they are brilliant, because we volunteer, and they make things, they signpost it for people with illnesses, but they also go out within the community and help. We've done radio programmes and all of our own. We've put things online, such as me going up the stairs on my stair lift.
Mm. Yeah.
And we try and make everything accessible to people that need it, that can understand it. So we're trying to turn everything round that they've put in place at hospitals and things and online, so that everyday people can understand what they need to get to. Because you look at some of this, and I mean, I told him straight, I says, you ain't going to understand that. I mean, some of the words you can't even read.
No.
So how do you expect somebody who needs help, who's desperate, who's not very well, to be able to read that? They're just going to give up. So it gives you the incentive that you feel as if you're being useful again to the community. You're not worthless.
No, absolutely. You're certainly not worthless. I mean, does this affect younger people as well as older people, or is it just generally, you know, older people?
It's like older people, not young children. Young adults don't normally get it. It's the older ones that get it.
But in rare cases, they can have asthma attacks and pleurisy and
bronchiolitis, is
yes.
it?
Yeah.
It affects our agent and tail, can't it? You know, we just lose words
well,
and everything.
I'm with you. It's fine.
But it's that you can find them and they will, it will affect them like that, but they've got a chance of having, they can do a lung transplant.
Yes.
But they wouldn't even consider us because of our ages.
No.
I was under a consultant and I actually came off his books because I said, can you do anything? And he said no. And I said, well, in that case, what's the point of me keep coming up the hospital, give it to somebody you can help, and I'll get on with my life.
Mm.
And he looked at me and went, you what? I said, yeah, I don't want to be a drain. I want to get on with my life. What I've got left, I want to live.
Mm.
And we started Airtime, didn't we?
Oh, I'm coming on to that. Tell me about that.
That was a group that was set up about 4 years ago, roughly. I wasn't at the very beginning, but I was in a couple of weeks in when I started. And it was a group that was for self-help, so that You could come in, you could meet up socially, but you could talk to other people that had got this condition, and therefore you found out just what a difference it was and what other people had got and how they dealt with it. Mm. And you could say, well, that didn't work for me, why don't you try this? And it was surprising, it was...
Mm. Well, you can learn so much from that. Yes. And you're all in the same boat. And, you know, you're sharing ideas. Mm. And it's that bit of support, as you were saying earlier on, Joy. You're then not isolated. You're not alone. And, you can all, share in each other, really, can't you?
Yeah, well, we're starting a new group now, hopefully at the Bethel Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor came up with an and they asked me if I'd help out with it last week. And I said yes. And it's... She says, what do you think of this for a name? Because I said, can you help pick a name then? And it's Bebo.
Mm-hmm.
Breathe in, breathe out. So you won't forget that. Quite simple.
I like that.
Yes.
I like that.
And it's simple, but it's understandable. Mm. You know what it is. You know where you can go. It's Hill Street Lye. We're hoping to set it up.
Right.
We're in talks. We're going to be starting next week with a meeting to see what I need to help start the class.
Mm.
And I said, yeah, it is needed because there are so many people with it. It's untrue because people don't realise that others have got it.
No.
Because it's not something that's discussed.
No, it doesn't get the attention that the other, other medical conditions get. What would you say to somebody who thinks they're perhaps not quite as well as they should be, or they're experiencing some of the symptoms that you've both described? It's nothing to be fearful of, but it's important to get a diagnosis and understand if there is a problem and to what magnitude it is. So what's the best thing to do to take that first step?
But to talk to them, advise them, let them, if they can find out, they can be helped with whatever they've got. But it's the fear of finding out that what
it's
you've
the
got.
It's the unknown.
Yes.
It is. But as you were saying, Angela, earlier on, if you get at it early on, it can be dealt with. If you leave it, it will then perpetuate into something else. And if you leave it too long, then it makes it difficult then.
Mm. Well, you lose all momentum.
Mm.
You lose the will to carry on. You lose the will. The lockdown was terrible for people.
Mm.
We lost quite a few members, didn't we? They passed away, bless them.
Yes.
And it was because of the isolation.
Mm.
And this is it, because they're frightened to go out the front door.
Which you can understand.
We're there, aren't we? As we try to tell them, you need to take that step to go out the front door. There are people there to help.
But you've got to make that first
you've
step.
You've got to take the
as you say.
First step.
It is frightening now.
It
when
is.
I first
yeah, I
went
can
out.
Understand that.
Yeah.
It was.
Yes. Because you fear the worst.
Mm. So really the first thing that we should do then is have a word with our GP.
Yeah,
yes. Or the nurse.
Get diagnosed.
Start the GP process. I know very often GPs are very hesitant about seeing people, but most surgeries have mechanisms in place where you can either, as you say, speak to the nurse, or you go through a triage system.
And
so tell me about your plans for this year then. What sort of antics are you both going to be getting up to? Clearly you've got your new group, you've got Bebo that'll be starting, you've got Airtime which will continue. So, what other antics are you up to?
I've moved away from Airtime so as I can start up this group.
Mm.
Well, I wanted a break from the travelling. And then I found out after a week of not doing it, I need it. It's like the long-lost friend that you don't think you need, And with I've asked Melissa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
From Health Watch, if she can come in and give a talk to the group as well. We're going to be getting in touch, because we get in touch with the nurses and we get them to come into the groups as well. And they give talks on the medication, how to take it. They also do exercise, don't they?
Yes.
And then we also have the DRAS nurse come in.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to give a talk or sit there in case you'd got worries and you just wanted to discuss them with somebody without having to go to the doctors or the nurses. But since the lockdown, we've lost all that. So we need to try and build it up. And I think it's because of the mental health issues that they need to do this, that we need to get this up and running, but not just in Light, but you could do with quite a few groups. I know there's the Lung Foundation and they've got the Breathe Easy group, but it's not enough. You need one in every area, to be honest. To work. And you can perhaps bring everybody together, say, a couple of times a year, just so as they can get to know each other.
Sure. I mean, you're both living proof that you know, you can live with this, although it comes in varying stages, as you've explained. So it is livable, it's manageable, and you manage it in the way that's most appropriate for you. What message of hope would you give to somebody that's just received a diagnosis or thinks that something may not be quite as it should be?
Don't panic. That's just try and go and speak to somebody. And if not, if you want to give me a call, you're more than welcome to have my phone number later on. I can pass it. They can pass it on from the station. And I will be more than happy to talk you through it. It's not a problem.
Well, you can leave that with me when we finish. Yes. And I'll make sure that our social media team get hold of that. So that's lovely. Angela Ray and Joy Harper, thank you both very much for coming in and for talking to Friday Night Clive.
That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcast from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.